Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask you to give us wisdom and faith today concerning the great plan that you have for these end of times and concerning the restoration of all things, which is about to begin. And we thank you, Father, for showing us the parables that point to this, the words that point to this. Thank you, Lord, that it will be in our hearts, Father, and we will all bear the fruit necessary. In Jesus' name. All right, saints. Well, you remember how that the Apostle Paul spoke in Romans concerning Abraham's being Abraham and Sarah being able to bear fruit when they were old, after God made them a promise of what we would call a great revival today. Looking at that story, it really encourages us to continue to believe what God has said about us concerning the salvation of our spirit, soul, and body, the manifestation of Christ in us. All these promises seem to be wound up in this promise that Paul said was not just for Abraham and Sarah, but for us. So I think I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and be thou a blessing. This land, this promised land, is all wound up. The place you can bear the fruit is not in bondage to captivity to the beast nations, which Israel went into several times. The place of bearing fruit is the promised land, because it represents standing on the promises. And so this is the story. He said, I'll make of thee a great nation. In other words, he would have to have a son, since Sarah was not capable, and he wasn't capable. And he said he would make a great nation. But when he told him this, there was maybe a possibility of it happening. Not likely in the natural. But it became more and more impossible. When he told him this, it wasn't until 25 years later that he bore the son. He was expected to believe this promise all the way through there, but he wasn't believing the promise. But all you have to do is, believe it at the end, and it will come to pass. When he said this to him, Abraham was 75 years old. That's in verse 4. We'll read on down to that. I will bless thee and make thee thy name great, and be thou a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and him that curseth thee will I curse. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now this curse is active today for all of the children of Abraham. Those who are a curse to us become cursed. And you can see it. It's very obvious. And the judgments that fall upon people who curse us. And of course, in Abraham shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And we are in Abraham. So we're entitled to this too. Verse 4. So Abraham went as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And he took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother, and so on and so forth. Again, Abraham was called Abram, them. Ah, as brother of. He had to become the brother of in order to be the father of the promised seed. And I would say that that means the brother of Jesus Christ in order to be the father of the promised seed. And truly, the sons of Abraham were to walk in these steps. That was 25 years that he was given the promise before the son was born. I remember when the Lord gave me the promise of the man child birth, the promised seed. And it's been about 44 years for me. And I'm 70 now. So it's been about 44 years, not exactly, but about. And I believe that all we have to do is continue to believe for the promised seed to be born to all of us. That represented the first fruits from Sarai or Sarah. It represented the first fruits. We have a first fruits manifestation coming, corporate body of the first fruits coming, but individually we all bring forth this promised seed. Because the law was until the seed should come until that the promise was due, and that seed was Christ. So we too, you know, are entering into this blessing, this provision of God. And it's just as impossible for us to do it as it was for him to do it. And he went on down to say in verse 7, unto thy seed will I give this land. Well, of course, Sarai was barren. So God had to bring this to pass. It was like the virgin birth of Jesus. He was the promised seed, right? It was an impossible fruit to be born, right? It had to come from God. The interesting thing here, before we go on, is if you look in verse 11, it says, and it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Well, God was on the way to fulfilling the promise even before Abraham understood it. That's what I believe. She was 65 years old here. And he said, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. And it will come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. So then he made the deal with her that she would say she was his sister. And the Egyptians, in verse 14, it says that they saw that she was very fair. They reported her to Pharaoh, who as a king, as a potentate, he was able, I guess, to have anybody he wanted. He wanted Sarai. She was evidently beautiful at 65. Well, that wasn't the end of the story. It gets better. Can God do that? Oh, absolutely, he can do that. I have a friend who asked God a gift of 20 years, and this was a woman, and God took 20 years off of her life. And you could tell she looked nothing like her actual age. And other people, they grow old slower than some. There are benefits, of course, to holding fast to the Word of God and the kingdom and to the benefits of the kingdom that we have. We can stand strong to receive these restorations. But if we're not talking physically, and I'm not really totally talking physically here, but I'm just pointing out that how impossible this birth or this bearing of fruit was. So Anyway, Abraham did get his wife back because God cursed Pharaoh just as he said he would. He cursed his whole household. And, of course, he found out that this was not Abraham's sister, but his wife. And so let's jump over to Genesis 17 and 15 and read on. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I believe that, if I remember correctly, that means princess. She became a princess when she added the A-H, Sarai, brother of. We're royalty when we become the brother of Jesus. He was the firstborn among many brethren, right? And I will bless her, and moreover, I will give thee a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? Well, we can tell it was an unbelievable thing that was being said there in the natural. And Abraham was having trouble believing it. And so at this time, he was 99, but at the time the child would be born, he would be 100. That's why he said, shall he that's 100 years old bear a son. And, of course, it says in verse 24, Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. So here he was, 99 years old. And it was kind of unbelievable. He'd been going through this for many, many years, almost 25 years from the time of the promise unto the birth, which was the next year. So 25 years he waited for the promise. And, you know, God doesn't remember all the days that he didn't believe and all the flesh he got into in order to bring forth Ishmael. But the great thing about it is that this type and shadow is for everybody worldwide to enter into to bear the fruit. Arabs included. Ishmael's seed in the natural included. This is for everybody. All to enter in to bear this fruit of Abraham. Because today we're sons of Abraham through faith. If we walk by faith, we are sons of Abraham. In faith in Jesus Christ, we're sons of Abraham. 25 years he'd waited for this. And as I told you from the first revelation I got about the man child, it's been about 44 years. So, wow. So let's go on over and read a little bit more in chapter 18, verse 9, on down. And they said unto him, where is Sarai, thy wife? He said, and this is, of course, the men that appeared to him, one of whom evidently was the Lord, at the Oaks of Mamre, verse 1. Three men stood there, and they addressed him, and he called the Lord his Lord, my Lord. And so here we go, verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarai, thy wife? He said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee when the season cometh round. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. and it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Well, why did God wait so long, right? But now both of them laughed, because it was in the natural unbelievable. So up until this point, they were unbelieving. You know, if you just listened to the story in the New Testament, you would think Abraham believed from the beginning until the end, that this was going to happen. But it wasn't the kind of faith that was God's kind of faith, was it? No. And, God, too, forgets all of our failures if we continue to walk in the faith. Our history is our history. It's gone. It's in the depths of the ocean, right? And so she laughed because she, staggered through unbelief. Now, there was a time, of course, after this that they didn't stagger through unbelief, but at that time she staggered, no doubt about it. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child who am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, here, this is the whole point. Why does God wait until it's impossible for the flesh to have any work in this promise until he fulfills it? Because he's not going to share his glory with another. He purposely waited until it was totally impossible for the flesh to believe. Or the flesh to have any part in bringing forth, like Abraham thought, he and Sarah thought, they would help the Lord out, and they ended up with Ishmael, but God would not accept Ishmael as the promised seed, only Isaac. So she questioned, she laughed, and the Lord said, is anything too hard for the Lord? All we have to do is believe the promise. We can't walk by sight. We have to walk by faith. It's the only way it's going to be fulfilled. It has nothing to do with how impossible the situation is. God loves to do things impossible because then he's the only one that gets the glory for it, right? It has to be impossible for the flesh. So we'll only have faith in God. What we get from this story is believe God. Don't pay any attention to what you see with your eyes, what you hear with your ears, what you feel with your hands. And, of course, Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Nothing really gets by the Lord, does it? So, impossibility to bear this fruit, the promised fruit, which was going to bring forth all of the nations in Abraham, all of those who are saved in Abraham. Wow. Can we have a part in this, bearing this fruit, so that the fruit itself can bring forth the nations? Because guess what? It's not you and I that can do this. It's the fruit, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that can do this, right? We can do nothing without him, but we can do all things through him. So God is going to bring forth a great harvest in these days, the greatest harvest. In these days. And it's going to be the fruit of God's people because they have believed that they don't live anymore, but it's Christ that lives in them. They've believed the gospel. They behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory as from the Lord, the Spirit, as from the Lord, the Spirit. It is God's work in us. It's our work to believe him. It's his work to bring forth the impossible. All right? Again, you can see in this both the end time ministry, first fruits, man-child body of people. They're just the first fruits. They're not the only fruits. This is the beginning of the restoration of all things here. It's going to go on to be in the disciples of the man-child and on through the church and on. It's going to continue bearing this fruit. Okay, let's go to Genesis 20. And Abraham journeyed from thence towards the land of the south, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and he sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said unto Sarah, his wife, she is my sister, said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Okay, here it is again, history repeating. Okay, why did he come and take Sarah? He's the king. He could have anybody he wanted, right? And this time, Sarah was 90 years old, for goodness sake. And he said up in verse 11, he said, and Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Okay, his 90-year-old wife, right? She evidently was a beauty even then. Now, what kind of restoration is this? You remember the same situation was said of Rebecca, who married Isaac. It said that she was fair when he said the same thing, that she's my sister, you know. And all this was to keep people from going after Sarah. Well, for goodness sake, here she's... Here Sarah is 90 years old. What kind of restoration is this? Wow! A total restoration, isn't it? She was impressive to the king. I'm sure he could have had much younger girls, right? But no, 90-year-old Sarah. My goodness. And so it came time for the... It was within the last year, of course, that it was time for the son to be born. Chapter 21 and 1, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. Well, let me say, it wasn't really his old age. It was his old age. It was old age to anybody around him, right? But God had done such a restoration in Abraham and in Sarah. She was 90. He was 100 at this time. That they could bear the fruit by God's hand, God's power, and be this awesome testimony to us. Have you ever thought you were beyond? You're on the gray side. You're gone beyond your usefulness to God. Don't believe it. You just keep believing the promise. Like Moses, you know. So, Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him at the set time. There was a time coming. And, you know, Abraham thought it would have been a lot sooner. And he got discouraged, tried to help God out, and, of course, failed because no works of man can bring forth the promised seed of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, who is the Isaiah 9:6, Everlasting Father. He's not the Father. He is the Father of all who believe. It is his seed sown in the earth, the word of God that brings forth the fruit in the parable of the sower. Right? And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac, which means laughter. Very interesting. Laughter. They both laughed. So he gave him a remembrance of that. You remember when you laughed? Well, here he is. Okay. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, and God had, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. Everyone that heareth will laugh with me. Yep, even when they repeat his name, right? And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should give children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So, very interesting. What a restoration that God did in order to bring that to pass. And how long did this last? Well, if you look in Genesis 23, you see the life of Sarah was 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. So that was quite a restoration. Quite an awesome and powerful restoration. And Abraham, of course, at that time was 137. Quite a restoration in him. We go to Genesis 25. After Sarah died, and Abraham took another wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, Jokshan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua, and 6 sons were born unto Abraham through Keturah. And how old was he at that time? 175 years old. Quite a restoration God did in him. And he's having children at 175 years old. Verse 7, Abraham's life, which he lived, 115 years. And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Wow, what a restoration. You know, I'll just give you a little hint before we go on. There was a restoration of all things in Joel. Guess when it was? It was after the northern army was smitten, when the northern army came against the bride, which we've been expecting, which we've been receiving over and over to be looking forward to. So when God smote the northern army, he said, I will restore unto you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmworm, my great army which I sent against you. He'll restore the years. This is kind of the restoration of all things, maybe the beginning of it. And the restoration looks like Jesus. That's what it looks like. I'm going to come back to this later. Right now, I want to go and look and see what the New Testament says about this parable, because it is a parable of our time. Okay? Let's go to Romans 4 and 16. For this cause, it is of faith, that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed. So, see, there are a lot of impossibilities out there, but faith supersedes all of these impossibilities. And it's got to be sure to all the seed. No matter what kind of impossibility they find themselves in, they have to believe the promise in order to have God's power, which supersedes their power, right? Not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Amen. And, of course, he was talking to the Romans here. So, I mean, the Gentiles, right? We're sons of Abraham through faith. When we walk by faith, there's a lot of Christians that don't walk by faith. They don't even know what faith is. But when we walk by faith, we bring to pass the great promises. Some people don't think you can overcome sin. How can you have a restoration without overcoming sin? As it is written, a father of many nations, nations is the word they use for Gentiles, have I made thee before him whom he believed, even God, who giveth life to the dead and calleth the things that are not as though they were. He gave life to the dead to bring this promise to pass. Abraham was in effect dead. And Sarah was in effect dead to bring forth the promise. Neither one of them could do that. But their bodies were being restored, weren't they? And up until right there at the end, this particular part of their bodies hadn't been restored. But then God did that. Who in hope believed against hope. In other words, it was a hopeless looking situation. And he believed against this hopeless looking situation that caused them both to laugh, to the end that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken. So shall thy seed be. Thy seed be. And the seed had to come through Sarah, because God said so. Now, Abraham did have a seed, you know, that was Ishmael, who was the father of many nations himself, but not the seed of the promise. And without being weakened in faith, he considered his own body now as good as dead, he being about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet looking unto the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God. Yes, notice at what time he had the faith. It was when he was 100 years old, not when he was 75, right? And not even the year before Isaac was born. They both laughed. So it is the time when he was 100 years old that he was believing this. And he entered into the promise. So it was, again, a time of impossibility, because both of their bodies were dead in order to bring forth any fruit. They had no capability to bring forth fruit. Neither do we in the natural have any capability of bringing forth fruit. Therefore, it has to be faith, as we read when I started this text. For this cause, it is of faith that it may be according to grace. Grace is unmerited favor. When they brought forth Ishmael, that was works. That was not grace. That was man's works. And this had to be by grace. So it had to be impossible for the flesh to do. And it was. God made sure. He waited and waited until Abraham gave up by his own works to bring about this fruit of Christ. Each seed is born after its own kind, the Bible says. Who can sow the seed that is the promised seed? Only God. You see, this is a virgin birth here. It's not man's seed. If you're listening to man's seed all the time, you're not going to bring forth the fruit. It's the seed of the Word of God that brings forth the fruit. It puts the faith in you to believe for the impossible. Okay? And God, if it's impossible, guess what? Then you're getting into miracle territory, right? So if it looks impossible, that's good. The odds are for you if it looks impossible. Okay? So don't stagger through unbelief, right? He wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Awesome. And it is still true. Is anything too hard for God? That was the question he put forth to Abraham. So, through faith, bearing fruit of Isaac, he would be the father of the nations, right? And also, let me say again, the first fruit's son of Sarah and Abraham, the first fruit's son. There is a first fruit's son about to be born in the earth, the first fruits. And of course, that's the man-child ministry in which Jesus lives through his word and through the Spirit of God. Okay, so we're looking on another level here. We're looking on the individual bringing forth of Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the only hope of glory. He is this promised seed who inherits Abraham's blessings and inherits the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It is not the old man. He's merely the dirt that the seed is sown in. It's the one in you who is formed by the word of God that can do this work for God, right? Wherefore also it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Okay, so he believed contrary to what his flesh could do in order to have righteousness or justification. We're justified by faith, not by works. Abraham wasn't justified by faith when he had Ishmael. That was works. And God said, no, I will not accept that. You know. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was reckoned unto him or accounted unto him, but for our sake also, unto whom it shall be reckoned, who believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. When Jesus was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead. As in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. We have a resurrection life that's been given unto us, and we have to believe to receive it. I mean, it's not a step over the line type thing like religion would have you believe. It just doesn't work that way. You have to believe for every part of resurrection life. Forget not all of his benefits, he says, right? Who was delivered up for our transgressions and was raised for our justification. That means accounted righteous. 5:1. Being therefore justified by faith or accounted righteous by faith, Abraham was accounted righteous by faith, and so he received the promised seed, which was impossible for him to bring forth. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You accept it, even though you don't see it. You're looking at the impossibility of the flesh and its works, and all of your failures, like Abraham had, you know. And instead, you're looking at the promise and the one who promised it. You're accounted righteous by your faith, not by your works, right? And he goes on in verse 2, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Our access into the same grace that was given to Abraham is through faith. If you stand in faith and you waver not through unbelief, you shall receive the promise of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the man-child, of course, is going to be the first fruits to begin manifesting this. It's the beginning of the restoration of all things, but that's just the head. We're going on down through the body, right? The body, too, is going to be restored. By faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, let me go somewhere else. How about Hebrews 6, 11? And we desire that each one of you may show the same diligence unto the fullness of hope, even unto the end. Yes, waver not through unbelief. That ye be not sluggish, but imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. What patience did Abraham have? Right? Wow. And we too must be patient. We must not look in the mirror and see ourselves. We must look in the mirror and see Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18, right? You see it as done. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were, right? So you look in the mirror and you see Jesus. You thank him for that promise. And by the way, there's no sickness in Jesus. There's no curse in Jesus. There's no sin in Jesus. There's all that's included when you see Jesus. That's all part of the promise. For when God made promise to Abraham, since he could swear by none greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And thus having patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Again, we looked at that, and that was in the last year of that 25 years. Right? So it's not too late for you to believe. For men swear by the greater, and in every dispute of theirs, the oath is final for confirmation. So God wanted to confirm his promise, right? Wherein God, being minded to show more abundantly unto the heirs of the promise, that's you if you walk by faith, the immutability or unchangeability of his counsel, interposed with an oath. So over the top of the promise, he made an oath that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong encouragement. So God not only gave us the promises, he gave us an oath so we would be encouraged. And unchangeable things, right? We have a strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, which we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and entering into that which is within the veil, in other words, into the presence of God, whither as a forerunner Jesus entered for us, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So as a forerunner, some people say, oh, that was Jesus. He's the Son of God. Sure, he can do that. No, he was a forerunner. That means he entered into the presence of God so that we could enter into the presence of God. You got that? And all through faith. There's no way except through faith. Right? No way. An impossibility. This is a virgin birth. No seed of man can bring forth Jesus Christ in you. Only the seed of God can do that. And that's only the Word of God. I hate to hear preachers preach on and on and on after given one verse or two verses instead of really telling you what the Bible says about the subject. And so many things they have to leave out so the seed is unprofitable and doesn't bring forth the desired fruit. Okay, let's look in Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away therefore your boldness, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now, I know you've probably seen this in another way or form, but please pay attention to what we've already said concerning what he's saying here. We have need of patience. Listen, patience will get you everything. Patience in your faith will get you everything. James said in chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations or trials, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. You see that? And verse 6 there says, but let him ask in faith, nothing doubting, For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now let me ask you, was Abraham for the first 24 years unstable? Yes, he was. But his sins too were forgotten, because just as the Lord taught us in Jeremiah and other places, you know, when you go on in righteousness and continue to believe, your sins will not be remembered. Abraham's sins were not remembered. And he's warning us here. If you continue in double-mindedness, you will not receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. So patience will get you everything, even perfection. Now, they can preach against it if they want to, but it's in the book. Look up the word perfect if you want to get a revelation of what God is offering, not what man is offering. Man is saying you can't be perfect. That's fine. But they're only counting on their own ability. They're not counting on God's ability, and God promised perfection. So if you want to get a true revelation of it, just look it up in your concordance and go and read about it. That you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. This is the person who is patient in their faith, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. Okay? Now go back to where we were in Hebrews chapter 10. You have need of patience, and having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. That was 36. Here's 37. For yet a very little while, he that cometh shall come and shall not tarry. Can you apply that to Isaac or Christ? Yes, of course. He shall come and he shall not tarry. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And of course, one was italicized there. It wasn't in the original. My righteous shall live by faith. And if he shrink back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. There's that double-mindedness, shrinking back, right? But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. Well, okay, we don't want to shrink back and miss out on the promise of God. Abraham, at the end, in that 25th year, he came through by the grace of God. Have faith unto the saving of the soul. You know what the saving of the soul is? When you look at a saved soul, who are you looking at? Jesus. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We're transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. Jesus. The promised seed. So the saving of the soul here is the promised seed, right? And he goes on to say, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. Also, Abraham can't look at his body and Sarah's and figure that this has anything to do with the bringing forth of the promise. A conviction of things not seen. Well, therein the elders had witness borne unto them. By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of the things which appear. In other words, Isaac didn't come from Abraham and Sarah. Jesus didn't come from Mary, you know. Naturally speaking, the seed came from God, right? And so, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne unto him that he was righteous. We are righteous when we walk by faith in God, when we stagger not through unbelief. Where we've been promised the restoration of all things at the what? The coming of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people don't know about the first coming, and they only recognize the second coming, but they believe the second coming is going to be at the beginning of the tribulation period, contrary to all facts, you know, contrary to everything the Bible says. But these two comings are for the restoration of all things. The ultimate restoration of all things will be at the end. But the beginning first fruits of the restoration is going to be at the beginning, when the man child is birthed. An impossible birth. And I'm talking now about the corporate man child ministry that's coming forth. It's an impossible birth. And so, people who look at their flesh and look at their doings and all these things, they're not going to bear that fruit, you know. To bear the fruit, even if it is the last minute thing, and it is, folks, it's going to be by grace. The man-child ministry is coming forth by grace. It's not going to come forth by any works of man, what people have achieved to, or whatever. It's not going to be that way. Neither our personal man-child who is birthed in our life. When is the birth of our personal man-child in our life? When the people get to see him. You know, you don't see him while he's in the womb, right? That's when the fruit is born. The fruit of Jesus Christ is born and seen by the world. It's called the glory. We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. That's 30, 60, and 100-fold glory. That's star, moon, and sun glory. Glory. Okay? So this glory is being born in us as we walk by faith and not by sight. If you see your natural face in the mirror, you're going to forget what manner of man you are, right? You're going to be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. If you see your natural face in the mirror, that's what the Bible says. And so, but we have to see Jesus in the mirror, and that's by faith. That's over and above anything our flesh can do, right? When you walk by faith that you don't live anymore, it's him that lives in you, then he's able to do it. Because then you're accounted righteous through your faith. If you say you're always going to be a sinner, saved by grace, well, then that's what you're going to be, because you have no faith. And note, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave us his life. He made reconciliation. He gave us his life. He nailed our life to the cross. He put our sins on the cross and gave us his righteousness. Reconciliation means an exchange. He made an exchange. It was accomplished. If you want the exchange of Christ in you instead of you in you, you have to be accounted righteous by your faith. Right? It is impossible, so stop looking at yourself, because you can't do it. But you get your eyes on the Lord, right? We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. You know, this is to the lost and foolish man and religious man, this is blasphemy that you look in the mirror and see Jesus. But this is by faith. We look in the mirror and we see Jesus, because we don't live anymore. He lives in us, right? Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing in us. Thank you for what you're accomplishing in us. Thank you, Lord, that we can receive this gift of Jesus Christ who was given to us, and that he will be manifested as we walk by faith and not by sight. He will be manifested in us, his fruit, his love, his joy, his peace, etc., etc. His fruit will be manifested in us as we walk by faith. And, of course, we have the power of confession of sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. There are a people out there who never confess sins, and they will never grow in Christ. There is a people out there who have sinned greatly against the Lord, but they're too proud to confess sin. They will never bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. People want you to accept them while they continue in their sins and will not repent and confess they're wrong. And they will ultimately do you wrong because they cannot bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. They will be a little leaven leavening the whole lump. This pride gets in a lot of people, some of it through rejection and fear of rejection. They're afraid to confess their sins because they think people will look down on them. But no, we're justified by faith. You can tell people that have faith, even people who have failed can have faith. And they're justified by faith and not by works. Repent and believe. Repent is first, right? Repent and believe. And when you believe, you can confess that Jesus Christ is yours, a gift from God given to you. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you that this miracle is just like the miracle of Abraham and Sarah bringing forth fruit. It's just like that. It's an impossibility for man. Why do we condemn ourselves? Because we think that we can do better. Why do we let the devil condemn us? Because we think the devil is right. We could have done better. You know what? We can only do better through faith. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He only wants us to have faith so that we can go on and so we can have the power of God to bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. The reason God said there's no condemnation is because he knows if you're going to live under condemnation, you're not going to bear fruit. And why does the devil condemn us? So that he can conquer us. So that we cannot bear fruit. Oh Lord, you're so magnificent. You have done it already. Help your people to realize that you have overcome the world. The fruit of Jesus Christ is ours. It is ours. It's been given to us. And Lord, help us to continue without wavering in the faith that Christ is our fruit. He will be born to us. You said, he that doeth the will of my Father is my mother. And so therefore we can bring forth Christ. What must we do the works of God? Believe on him whom he has sent. You said it. This is the work of God. This is how we can do the work of God. Believe on him whom he has sent. Thank you so much, Father. All right, saints, God bless you. And Father, we ask you to bless Michael Hare and the brethren with him. They're going to come and share a word with you. We ask you to bless them mightily and all the brethren to listen, to hear what Michael has to say about this fruit. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night. Bless you.